بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our eighth session, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 2, Dr. Fa Abdurrahim. And this is our preview course, preview of Medina Book 2. And again, the intention or the purpose or objective of this preview course is to introduce and to familiarize ourselves with the grammar and vocabulary of Medina Book 2 before we actually enter into the full study of Medina Book 2. So this course is basically for those who have completed Medina Book 1, and what is intended is that before we enter into the full study of Medina Book 2, we want to acquaint ourselves with as much of the material as possible so that the transition from Medina Book 1 to Medina Book 2 will not be as difficult as it might be if we are not familiar with the material, the overwhelming amount of material that we're going to be covering in Medina Book 2. Okay, so today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, our intention is to preview lesson number 8 and perhaps the first 3 points of lesson number 9. Since lesson number 8 is just a review lesson where there's really nothing new being introduced, so we're going to go over some of the material that is reviewed in lesson number 8, particularly the chart, the past tense verb chart on page 55, and then 3 of the exercises which kind of give some of the details that are necessary for understanding the information in that chart. So that is what we hope to cover from lesson number 8, and then we'll try to take the first couple of points from lesson number 9, and next week, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll complete lesson number 9. So for homework, what we suggested was that as we read through the English key for lesson number 8, which actually there's no English key, it's just, because it's a review lesson, so actually what we intended was that you study the chart of the complete chart of the past tense verb on page 55, and to examine and study carefully exercises 3 and 5 and 6. So we're going to take a look at that, but in order to completely understand that, if you wanted to have like a full reading of what is necessary for the past tense verb, then you could have gone back to the English key, where we studied the past tense verb originally in lesson number 4, point number 1, and in lesson number 6, point number 1, and in lesson number 7, points 1, 2, and 3. And all of those points from lesson 4, 6, and 7 are basically the introduction to the conjugation of the past tense verb. In lesson number 4, we had 6 pronouns of the conjugation of the past tense verb, and in lesson number 7 we had 1, in lesson number 6 we had 1, and in lesson number 7 we had the remaining 3. So there are 10 pronouns excluding the duals, the muthanna, which we'll take in the end of this level 2. So there are 10 pronouns that we want to look at for now. 6 of them are introduced in lesson number 4, point number 1, page 13. So I gave you a reference to the English key just so you can go back and see what is discussed there and how it's explained, and then the remainder of the conjugation came in lesson 6 and in lesson 7. So hopefully everybody had a chance to take a look at that and before looking at the chart, which is the full conjugation of the past tense verb on page 55. So I'm just going to note here briefly, before we look at the chart, I'm just going to note here briefly that in lesson number 4, English key, there's mention that most Arabic verbs have 3 letters that are called radicals. Those are the roots of the verb, like ذهب, رجع, جلس, كتب, أكل, and so on, like this. This basic form of the verb in Arabic is the past tense form, الماضي. And actually, we have seen all of these forms of the past tense, conjugation of the past tense verb, in Book 1. First in lesson number 4, and then in lesson number 10, and then in lesson 12, 13, 14, and 15, we were introduced to the conjugation of the past tense verb without its details in book number 1. So we've seen this previously, and then here in lesson 4, we're introduced to 6 pronouns that are attached to the past tense verb. So basically, what I want to mention here from the English key from lesson number 4, which we previewed already, is that there are 2 forms of the conjugation of the past tense verb which have a hidden pronoun, damir mustatir. So that's mentioned in lesson number 4, English key, point number 1 on page 13, that the third person masculine singular dhahaba, which means he went, and the third person feminine singular dhahabat, which means she went, each of them have something distinct about them, different than the other conjugation forms of the conjugation of the past tense verb, and that is that the fa'il for dhahaba and dhahabat is not a suffix attached to the end of the verb. Yani the other forms have a suffix attached to the end, dhahabta, dhahabti, dhahabtu, and so on. Okay, but these 2 forms, dhahaba and dhahabat, they don't have any suffix attached to the end of the verb. Rather, the fa'il, that's the doer of the action of that verb, huwa or hiya, is what is known as damir mustatir, a hidden pronoun. Okay, so I just want to mention that for dhahaba and dhahabat, the fa'il is going to be the damir mustatir, the hidden pronoun. So it's understood in dhahaba that the fa'il is huwa, and it's understood in dhahabat that the fa'il is here. For the rest of the forms that they gave us in lesson 4, yani dhahabu, there's waw al-jama'ah, dhahabna, there's noon and niswa, and then there's dhahabta and dhahabtu, which are mutaharrik pronouns, yani pronouns that are voweled, they have a vowel, dhahabta, dhahabtu, and we'll see in lesson 6, dhahabti, and then we'll see in lesson 7, dhahabtum and dhahabtunna and dhahabna. Alright, so in lesson 4 and in lesson 6 and lesson 7, we're given the conjugation of the past tense verb. The main thing I want to mention here, yani from the English key for lesson 4, is that the fa'il, the doer of the action that we previewed in lesson 5, the fa'il for the past tense verb is a pronoun that's attached to the end. Okay, so the ta, the tu, the ti, yani that's attached to the end of the past tense verb, is the fa'il, the doer of the action. That pronoun that's attached to the end of the verb is the fa'il. The exception to this are 2 forms of the past tense verb, masculine and feminine third person singular, dhahaba and dhahabat. Yani there's nothing attached to the end as a fa'il, but rather the fa'il is the damir mustatir, which is understood to be huwa and hiya. So I hope that you had a chance to look at the English key and see that, especially in lesson 4, and then the follow-up in lesson 6, and in lesson 7. Okay, so that's basically what we wanted to look at in terms of the conjugation of the past tense verb from the English keys, okay? After that, we want to go now to the lesson that we have in front of us today. That is lesson number 8, and we want to look at the chart. Review the conjugation of the past tense verb chart on page 55. So what you need to know about this chart, and in order to benefit from any chart, a person has to understand how it's organized, how it's arranged, okay? So what is the arrangement of this chart? There are 3 things that you need to look at in terms of understanding this chart. At the top of the page, 55, it says, Ad-darsu al-thaminu, the 8th lesson. And we see that there are 3 columns from right to left. The first column is blank. I mean, it doesn't have anything on the top level. It's just blank. The second column says al-mufradu, and the third column says al-jam'u. Okay, so going across the top line of the chart, the first column is blank, the second column says al-mufradu, and the third column says al-jam'u. So what is al-mufrad? The singular. So these are what comes under al-mufradu going down in the second column. What comes under al-mufrad are the singular forms of the verb. So you have dhahaba, dhahabat, dhahabta, dhahabti, and dhahabtu. Going straight down under al-mufrad, you see that there are 5 forms of the conjugation of the past tense verb. Dhahaba, he went, dhahabat, she went, dhahabta, you masculine singular went, ذهبتي you feminine singular went, and ذهبتُ I went. Okay? The last column, the third column, under al-jama', if you go straight down, you see the verb forms are ذهبوا, they went, ذهبنا, they went feminine, ذهبتم, you all masculine went, ذهبتن, you all feminine went, and ذهبنا, we went. Alright, some of these forms, you see most of them, except the third person forms, most of them have the pronoun that corresponds, yani the independent, separate pronoun, like anta, ذهبta. Okay, it has an independent, separate pronoun that corresponds to the pronoun that's attached to the end of the past tense verb. But some of them have names, like Hamid and Amina, and yani Hamid, Hashim and Ali, and Amina, Zainab and Maryam. But most of them, you know, other than those, you see that they have a pronoun. So that pronoun is very important to pay attention to, because it helps you to remember the pronoun, the corresponding pronoun that's going to be attached to the verb. So when you see anta, you know it's going to be ذهبتَ. When you see anti, you know it's going to be ذهبتِ. When you see antum, you know it's going to be ذهبتُم. When you see antunna, you know it's going to be ذهبتُنَّ. So these pronouns, separate pronouns that are mentioned here before the past tense form of the verb are, yani, just to help you to show the correspondence between the unattached pronouns and the attached pronouns that are attached to a verb. Okay, so this is the first angle that you want to look at it from. This chart right here, and three columns going down, the second column, al-mufrad, these are all the singular. Mufrad means singular, the singular forms of the past tense verb. The third, last column, al-jam'u, these are all of the plural forms of the past tense verb. Al-mufrad means singular. Al-jam' means plural. Okay, so that's one angle you want to look at, the singular forms, the plural forms. The second thing you want to look at, in the first column that's blank on the top, you see, yani on the second level of that first right-hand column, the second level, you see, al-mudhakkar. And underneath it, al-mu'annathu. And then underneath it, al-mudhakkaru again. And underneath it, al-mu'annathu. And then in the last level, you see al-mudhakkar wal-mu'annath. Okay, so what this is telling us is that you have al-mudhakkar, the masculine form of the verb, and you have al-mu'annath, the feminine form of the verb. Okay, so this column is telling you that what goes across from right to left, next to al-mudhakkar, you see hamidun dhahaba, hamid went. Hamidun wa hashimun wa aliyun dhahabu. Yani Hamid and Hashim and Ali, they went. They all went. Okay, Hamid went. And Hamid, Hashim, and Ali went. Plural. So these are all mudhakkar, masculine forms of the verb. Then, the next level going down, underneath al-mudhakkar, al-mu'annath. So this tells you that these are the feminine forms of the verb. Singular and then plural. Aminatu, ذهبت. Amina went. Aminatu wa Zainabu wa Maryamu, ذهبنَ. Amina, Zainab, and Maryam went. Plural, feminine plural. Okay, the next line tells you al-mudhakkar. So again, these are the masculine forms. Anta, ذهبتَ, antum, ذهبتُم. And underneath it, al-mu'annath, feminine forms. Anti, ذهبتِ, and antunna, ذهبتُنَّ. And then the last bottom level line has al-mudhakkar, al-mu'annath, because the forms here for the past tense verbs, singular and plural, are the same for masculine and feminine. So we see ana ذهبتُ, that's for masculine and feminine. A male or a female can say ana ذهبتُ. So tu here at the end of the verb is a pronoun that's used for first person singular, but it can be used for masculine, can be used for feminine. The plural going across, nahnu ذهبنَ. That means we went. And again, this form ذهبنَ, the first person plural form of the past tense verb, is used equally for masculine and feminine. That's why it has al-mudhakkar wal-mu'annath. The other forms, you see there's a mudhakkar form, masculine, and a mu'annath form, feminine. So a different form for masculine and feminine, except in the first person singular, ana dhahabtu, first person plural, nahnu dhahabna, both of those forms are used both for masculine and feminine. Okay, one more angle we want to look at. Okay, so the first angle we're looking at, the mufrad and jam, going down. Al-mufrad, singular forms, al-jam, plural forms. The other thing we want to look at is going across. Al-mudhakkar, al-mu'annath, masculine and feminine, masculine and feminine. The last thing we want to look at, the third angle, is what's written on the side of the right-hand side of the page. We see it written, yani, it's written sideways, right? It's written sideways. Okay, we see that there are three words written here. The first two boxes, مُذَكَّرَ الْمُؤَنَّثِ of four الْغَائِبُ. That means the third person. Al-ghaib means the one that's absent. Literally, it means the one that is absent. This refers in grammar, in the conjugation of a verb, means the third person, meaning the verb form that's used when you're talking about someone else. The next two are under the title of al-mukhatab, with fatha on the ta. It has fatha, not kasra, fatha. Al-mukhatabu. Al-mukhatabu literally means the one who is being spoken to. And in grammar we say this is the second person. And then the last one is al-mutakallimu. Al-mutakallimu means the speaker. In grammar the speaker means the first person. So the speaker is the first person, al-mutakallimu. The al-mukhatab is the second person, the one who's being spoken to by the speaker. And al-ghaib is the third person, the one that's being spoken about. Okay, so these three expressions, al-mutakallam, literally the speaker, is the first person. Al-mukhatab, literally the one who is being spoken to, is the second person. And al-ghaib, literally the absent, is the one who's being spoken about, that's the third person. Okay, so these are three things that you need to understand about this chart. We're going to look at the actual forms of the verbs in the exercises that we're going to look at in what follows. Yani exercise number 3 and exercise number 5, exercises 5 and 6. But in terms of understanding this chart, there are three angles that you want to look at it from. The first angle is what we see at the top of the page under Dars al-Thamin. Second column, al-mufradu. Everything under that is singular forms of the verb. Then the third and last column, al-jam'u. Everything under that are the plural forms of the past tense verb. Okay, so that's one angle. Plural, singular and plural. The second angle we want to look at, masculine and feminine. Al-mudhakkar, everything going across is masculine. Al-mu'annath, everything going across is feminine. Al-mudhakkar, al-mu'annath, masculine and feminine. So that's the second angle we want to look at it from. And the third angle we're going to look at it from is third person, second person, and first person. Any third person meaning the one who's being spoken about. Second person meaning the one who is being spoken to. And first person meaning the one who is speaking. So there's the speaker, the one who is being spoken to, and the one who is being spoken about. The speaker is the first person, the one who's being spoken to is the second person, the one who's being spoken about is the third person. Yani, first person, second person, and third person. In Arabic, we call it al-mutakallim, the speaker, first person. Al-mukhatab, the one being spoken to, the second person. And al-ghaibu, the one who's being spoken about, the third person. So, I hope that we understand these three angles. We want to look at the past tense verb in terms of three things. Is it singular or plural? Is it masculine or feminine? Is it the first person, the second person, or the third person? Okay, that's what this chart is, and that's how it should be understood. Okay, after this, we want to now, in order to understand a little bit more details about the past tense verb, we want to look at exercise number 3, which is on page 57, second half of the page, bottom half of the page, and it continues on the top of the following page. Exercise number 3 says, تأمل ما يلي. تأمل ما يلي. يعني reflect upon what follows. Contemplate. Examine what follows. Okay, so what follows is a presentation, a little bit of detail concerning each of these forms of the past tense verb that we see in that chart. It's giving us information about each form of the past tense verb. So, the first three lines are the third person. I should say the first four lines. Yani dhahaba, dhahabu, dhahabat, and dhahabna are all the third person forms. Third person forms. Okay, so remember, we're going to look at the verb from three angles. Third person, second person, first person. And then under each of them, under the third person, we're going to look at masculine and feminine, singular and plural. Masculine and feminine, and then we're going to look at singular and plural. Same thing for the second person. We're going to look at masculine and feminine, singular and plural. For the first person, because the masculine and feminine, the form is used equally for masculine and feminine. We're not going to look at masculine and feminine, but we're going to look at what? We're going to look at first person singular and first person plural. Okay, so let's look at this exercise number 3 and see what they tell us about each form of the past tense verb. Okay, each form of the past tense verb, they're going to tell us something about it. Yani specifically going to tell us the fa'il. That's what we want to be looking for. Okay, we want to know, they're going to tell us what's the fa'il, and then they're going to tell us what is the fa'il. And remember, we said that for two forms of the past tense verb, there's no fa'il. There's no suffix attached to the end of the verb as the fa'il. Rather, it's understood. It's a damir mustatir, a hidden pronoun that's understood to be huwa or hiya. As far as the other forms of the 10 forms of the pronouns of the past tense verb, we're going to see a suffix attached to the end of the verb which represents the fa'il. The fa'il literally means the one who's doing the action. In grammar, they call it the subject. The subject. The subject, yani in a verbal sentence, there's an action, and then there's a fa'il, subject, that's doing that action. And then there may also be a maf'ulun bi, yani an object, the object of the action. Okay, so there's an action, there's the one doing the action, and there may also be the one that the action is occurring to. Naam. So, right now what we're going to look at, we're going to look at each form of the verb and see where's the fa'il. Is it a hidden pronoun or is there a suffix attached to the end? We want to recognize that suffix. We're going to see in the future exercises that we're going to look at today, we're going to see the different types of fa'il. Okay? So there's a fa'il that's waw al-jama'ah, there's a fa'il that's noon and niswa, and there's a fa'il that's noon and mutakallimeen. The rest of the fa'ils we're going to see are going to be all, the rest of them are going to all be ta. Yani, dhahabta, dhahabti, dhahabtu, dhahabtum, dhahabtunna. You're going to see that they are, the rest of them are ta. It's called ta al-mutaharrika. We're going to come to that in exercise number 5. Okay, but before that, let's just look at each form of the past tense verb, page 57, exercise number 3, and see where's the fa'il. What we're trying to get out of this here is where's the fa'il. What is the fa'il in each form of the verb? And for any past tense verb, we're going to see the fa'il is going to be attached as a suffix, except for yani the third person, masculine and feminine singulars. Yani huwa dhahaba and hiya dhahabat. Or huwa kharaja and hiya kharajat. Or huwa jalasa and hiya jalasat. That third person, masculine and feminine singular, we're not going to see any suffix attached as a fa'il. But it's going to be, the fa'il is going to be a dhamir mustatir, yani hidden pronoun. The rest of them we're going to actually see a suffix attached, and that's going to be the fa'il, and that's what we want to identify in this exercise number 3. The first 4 lines again are for the third person. We're going to see the masculine first, singular and plural, and then the feminine, singular and plural, all for third person. Okay, let's look at the first line. It says dhahaba. This form of the verb, they said it's is what? It's dhahaba is the basic form of the verb. That's the fi'lu. The fi'lun. Dhahaba is the fi'lun. And then with it, there is what? Dhamirun mustatirun. That's a hidden pronoun, which equals the fa'il. So what we have in dhahaba? We have the fi'l, which is dhahaba, and we have the fa'il, which is a hidden pronoun. We don't see anything attached. It's a hidden pronoun. It's understood to be the fa'il, and that fa'il, even though it's not mentioned here, that fa'il is huwa. That fa'il is huwa. The dhamir mustatir, that's the fa'il. You should make a note that that fa'il is huwa. In dhahaba, it's a hidden pronoun that is understood to be huwa. Third person, masculine, singular. Okay, second line. This is all third person. Okay, that was the third person, masculine, singular. Here's third person, masculine, plural. Dhahabu. Dhahabu includes dhahaba, which is the fi'lun, equals the fi'lun, plus waw, which equals the fa'ilun. The waw, in this form of the verb, dhahabu, that waw is the fa'il, yani the subject, the doer of the action. And even though it's not written here, that waw is known as waw al-jama'ah. Waw al-jama'ah. Okay, we'll see these expressions later on. But just for your knowledge, you should know that this waw is known as waw al-jama'ah. Why is it called Wahl al-Jama'ah? Because it represents Jama'ah, it represents a group, represents plural. It's the masculine plural form for the third person. Masculine plural form for the third person. When you see that Wahl al-Jama'ah on any verb, it means that that is the masculine third person plural form of the verb. Thahabu, kharaju, jalasu, akalu, sharibu. That means that Wahl on the end is known as Wahl al-Jama'ah. It represents that this is the third person masculine plural form of the verb. Okay, the next two lines we're going to look at, the third person, feminine singular and feminine plural. So the third line says, Dhahabat, which is composed of Dhahaba, which is the fi'lun, the verb, plus ta, which is not the fa'il. Ta, this ta with sukoon in the end of Dhahabat is alamatu ta'neef, alamatu at-ta'neefi. What do we mean by alamatu ta'neef? The sign of femininity. It means that it's to distinguish dhahaba from dhahabat from dhahaba. Dhahaba is masculine. Dhahabat, that ta with sukoon, is the sign of femininity to tell you that this is a feminine verb form. Plus, what we don't see is dhamir mustatir, the hidden pronoun, which is the fa'il, which equals the fa'il, equals the fa'il. And this, even though it's not written here, is understood to be here. Okay, so what do we have in this third line? Dhahabat. Dhahaba is the fi'lun, plus ta is alamat ta'anith, the sign of femininity, plus damir, mustatir, which is the hidden pronoun, that is the fa'il. It's understood to be here. So you say, here dhahabat, here dhahabat. The next line, the fourth line, continues third person verb forms, but this is the third person, feminine plural, dhahabna. Fourth line says what? Dhahabna. This includes dhahaba, which is the fi'lun, the verb, plus noon with fatha, na, which is the fa'il, the subject, doer of the action. This noon with fatha, with a short vowel fatha, is what is known as nunu an niswati. We'll see this in the future, but just for your information, it's known as nunu an niswati, the noon of niswa, meaning women, feminine plurality. It's the noon that indicates feminine plurality, because this form of the verb dhahabna with this noon and niswa is the third person feminine plural. Okay, so the noon and niswa indicates that it's a feminine verb and that it's plural. The pronoun that corresponds to it is hunna. Hunna, dhahabna. Yani the independent unattached pronoun that corresponds to the noon and niswa is hunna. So you say hunna, dhahabna. Okay, those are the third person forms. Dhahaba, dhahabu, those are masculine, singular, and plural. Dhahabat and dhahabna, short, dhahabna, are the third person, feminine, singular, and plural forms. Now we go to the second person forms. Second person forms. And what are we doing here? We're trying to identify where's the fa'il in the past tense verb. The fa'il that is a suffix attached to the end of the verb, except in huwa and here, which is damir mustatir. Okay, second person. We're going to do first masculine, singular, masculine, plural, feminine, singular, feminine, plural. Four lines. Okay, second person. This is line number five. It says, dhahabta. Ta. This ta corresponds to anta. Dhahabta. This is second person, masculine, singular. Dhahabta. Dhahabta includes dhahaba, which is the fi'lun. Dhahaba equals the fi'lun. Plus ta equals the fa'ilun. Ta is the fa'ilun. So ta is the fa'ilun, means it's the subject of the sentence. Means second person, masculine, singular. Next line. Line 6, dhahabtum. Its corresponding pronoun is antum. Antum, dhahabtum. Here, this form of the verb dhahabtum includes dhahaba, which is the fi'lun, plus tu, which is the fa'ilun, plus mim, which is the alamatu al-jam'i. Alamatu al-jam'i. Alamatu jam' means the sign of plurality. The meme is the sign of plurality. So the actual fa'il in this verb, dhahabtum, is the ta al-mutaharrika, the ta that has a vowel, tu, That too is the fa'il, and the meem attached to it, tum, the meem is the sign of plurality. So this is a sign of masculine plurality. So when you see dhahabtum, you know that this is the second person, masculine, plural form of the verb. Second, all these are second person that we're looking at now. This is second person, masculine, plural. Dhahabta is the masculine singular. Dhahabtum, masculine, plural. Dhahaba is the fi'lun. Tu is the fa'ilun. And mim is the sign of al-jam, sign of plurality. The next line, seventh line, last line on page 57, has, yani gives us the feminine singular second person. And then after that we're going to see the feminine plural second person. Here we have the habti, which corresponds to the pronoun anti. Anti the habti. Second person, feminine, singular. Yani meaning you speaking, second person means you're speaking to somebody. And ti here means that the person you're speaking to is a female, and it's an individual. It's not a group. Individual. Singular. Feminine, singular. The habti. Dhahaba equals the fi'lun, the verb, plus t equals the fa'ilun, the subject, doer of the action. Let's turn the page to line number 8, the first line on the top of page 58. This is the second person feminine plural, speaking directly to a group of women. Dhahabtunna corresponds to the pronoun antunna, dhahabtunna. So in this verb form, dhahabtunna, which is the second person feminine plural, and he's speaking directly to someone, it's a group, plural, and it's females. Second person, feminine plural, dhahabtunna. So it includes the dhahaba, which equals the fi'lun, the verb, plus tu equals the fa'ilun, the subject, doer of the action, plus noon, which is alamatu al-jam'i, the sign of plurality. Remember we said in dhahabtum, tu is the fa'il, and mim is alamatul jam. And here the same thing, in dhahabtunna, tu is the fa'il, and the noon is alamatul jam. So the mim is alamatul jam, the plural sign for masculine, and noon is the plural sign for feminine. Okay, the last two lines, lines 9 and 10, on the top of page 58, we have dhahabtu and dhahabna. These are the first person forms of the verb. First person singular and first person plural. And we already said, remember, that these two forms are used for masculine and feminine. So there's no separate masculine and feminine form. Dhahabtu is used for a male who is speaking, individual male, or an individual female. The pronoun that corresponds to dhahabtu is ana. Ana. Ana dhahabtu. So this verb form, dhahabtu, includes dhahaba, which equals the fi'lun, and plus tu, which equals the fa'ilun, the subject, doer of the action. So tu in this verb is the doer of the action in dhahabtu. The last line is dhahabna, noon, fatha, alif, long elongation. Dhahabna, the corresponding pronoun, separate pronoun that is related to it is nahnu. Nahnu dhahabna. So this form dhahabna includes dhahaba, which equals the fi'lun, the verb, plus noon, fatha, alif, na, which equals the fa'ilun, the subject, doer of the action. This particular pronoun, attached pronoun na, is known as noon al-mutakallimin. Noon al-mutakallimin. The noon that indicates the speaker, who is a group. Mutakallimin means a group of speakers. Okay, so it's first person, speaker, plural. But it's distinguished from the habna with a short vowel, which is the third person feminine plural, is distinguished by the elongation of the fatha vowel. Noon, fatha, alif. So be careful between the habna and the habna. Okay, so that's what we wanted to look at in terms of exercise number 3. Exercise number 3, if you read it for homework and you studied it carefully and you understood it, this is a tremendous benefit to be able to identify the fa'il in the past tense forms of the verb. In these 10 forms of the past tense verb, excluding the duals, we have 8 suffixes attached. Those suffixes that's attached, ta, ti, tu, tum, tunna, u, yani the waw al-jama'a, noon and niswa. These suffixes that are attached to the end of the past tense verb are actually the fa'il, the subject doer of the action that represents the fa'il. Only in 2 there's no suffix attached. That's in the third person masculine singular, dhahaba, and feminine singular ذهبت, the فاعل in those two forms are what is known as the hidden pronoun in Arabic, ضمير مستطير. Okay, we're going to skip exercise number 4, and it's an actual exercise that you can do on your own if you want to try to do it. But what we're going to look at now is exercise number 5. Exercise number 5. Exercise number 5 says من الضمائر المتصلة, يعني some of the ضمائر pronouns متصلة connected or attached. Connected or attached pronouns. Okay, so they give us 4 lines here. The first line is the majority of the attached pronouns. That is التاء. التاء, the تاء, يعني which is also known as تاء المتحركة. متحركة because what? يعني it's a letter that has a vowel with it. It's not a ساكن, it's متحرك. It's not a letter with سكون, but it's a letter that has a vowel. So all of these that follow under التاء are all يعني forms of the past tense verb where there's an attached suffix which is a تاء. Okay? In the first one we have ذهب تاء with فتح. In the second one ذهب T with kasra. In the third one, ذهب تو with dhamma. And then we have ذهب تم, يعني that's two with a meme which represents plurality. And ذهب تن, that's also the letter, the consonant تا with dhamma, but it has attached to it the noon, which is the sign of plurality for femininity. Okay? So we see all of these are the letter تا, but with different vowels. The habta, the habti, the habtu, the habtum with plural meme, and the habtunna with plural noon. So all of these suffix on the end are represent the fa'il, subject doer of the action. In the next line, we have al-wa'u. Kama fi ذهبوا, as in ذهبوا, or خرجوا, or قرأوا, or كتبوا. That wa'u we said is known as waw al-jama'ah, and the waw that indicates plurality, masculine plurality, third person masculine, third person masculine plural form. Then we have, after waw, we have an-noon, kama fi dhahabna. An-noon, kama fi, as in the verb dhahabna, as in the verb akalna, sharibna, jalasna, and so on. That noon we said is known as noon and niswati. Noon and niswa. And niswa is spelled noon, seen, waw, and ta marbuta. Noon, seen, waw, ta marbuta. And niswa. Noon and niswa. Okay, so we had waw al jama'ah, and now we have noon and niswa. And the last one we have noon fata alif na kama fi dhahabna, as in the verb dhahabna, qara'na, katabna, akalna, sharibna. That noon we said is known as noon al-mutakallimin. Yani mutakallim means a speaker, mutakallimin means a group of speakers. Okay, so this is the noon that represents the plural first person, the habna. So all of these are suffixes that are added to the end of a verb, either na or short vowel na, or waw al-jama'ah, or a ta, as in the habta, the habti, the habtu, the habtum, and the habtunna. The last two have a meme and a noon to indicate masculine plurality and feminine plurality. Okay, so this in exercise number 5 is breaking down yani the groups of the yani fa'il, the subject doer of the action. So there's ta al mutaharrika with different vowels, and then there's waw al jama'ah, and then there's noon al niswa, and then there's noon al mutakallimin. Alright, so this is really a breakdown that helps you to see where is the fa'il that's attached to the end of the verb. So if you were to count these verb forms that they gave us here, you notice that under ta you have 5 forms. And then you have waw al-jama'ah, noon and niswa, and na al-mutakallimin. That makes 8. But we said that there are 10 forms of the past tense verb if we don't count the duals. So where are the other two? In exercise number 6, it says ta'ammal ma yali, and he carefully consider, review, examine what follows. Number 1, Aina Hamidun. It says, Aina Hamidun, the answer is Kharaja. Kharaja. They said Kharaja equals a fi'lun, it's a verb, and al fa'ilu dhamirun mustatirun. And the fa'il is a hidden pronoun. مستمير مستطر. So in this answer to أين حامد, where's حامد, خرج, he went out, we have the verb خرج, and we don't see any pronoun, as in exercise number 5, we don't see any pronoun attached. That's because the فاعل for the third person masculine singular is ضمير مستطر. It's a hidden pronoun. The فاعل is a hidden pronoun that's understood to be هو. هو ذا, هو خرج. Number 2, it says أين آمنة, where's آمنة, خرجت, she went out. So this form of the verb خرجت includes خرج, which is the فعل, the verb, plus تاء with سكون, which is علامة التأنيث, the sign of femininity, distinguishing it from ذهب. ذهب is masculine. The تاء with سكون on ذهبت is telling you that it's the feminine form, third person feminine singular form of the verb. And then after علامة التأنيث, there's also الفاعل. Where's the فاعل? We don't see anything attached except the sign of femininity. Where's the فاعل? It's ضمير مستطير, the hidden pronoun that's understood to be هي. So in خرج, you have the hidden pronoun, which is هو. And in خرجت, you have the hidden pronoun, which is هي. Okay, so in exercise number 5 and 6, they're showing us where the actual فاعل, the subject doer of the action, is in these verbs. So in 8 forms of the past tense verb, we see something attached to the end. And in 2 forms, we don't see anything attached to the end as a فاعل. But what we see is that the فاعل is the hidden pronoun, ضمير مستطير, represented by هو أو هي. Hidden pronoun represents هو أو هي. Okay, so this is what we wanted to look at in terms of lesson number 8. They are exercising this lesson. We'll do them, inshallah, when we come back to the full study of lesson number 8. When we come back to the full study, lesson number 8 is going to be a review lesson. It's going to review what we studied in lesson number 4 and 6 and 7. 8 is going to be a review of all of that. And we're going to have a lot of exercises to practice with the past tense verb. Okay, because we were anticipating that there would be time left after this preview of lesson number 8, which is relatively short, so we wanted to go back, we wanted to use the remainder time to go on to the next lesson, which is a very long lesson. And lesson number 9 has 11 points of grammar, which we want to look at, all of those points of grammar. It has a lot of exercises. We're not going to look at the exercises. And it also has a lengthy dialogue. It also has a lengthy dialogue at the beginning of the lesson. So, we're not going to read the dialogue today. We're going to read the dialogue when we finish the remaining points of the English key for lesson number 9. We're only going to do 3 points today. We're going to stop with that. Bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And then next week, inshallah, we'll do the remaining points for lesson number 9. And we'll also do the reading of the Arabic text at the beginning of the lesson, yani of the Arabic part of the lesson on page 59, 60, and 61. I'm sorry, 59, 60, 61, and 62. It's a very lengthy Arabic text. We're not going to read it this week, we're going to read it next week. So today, inshallah, what we want to do is begin the preview of lesson number 9. We're going to look at the first 3 grammar points. Next week, inshallah, we'll look at the remaining grammar points and the Arabic text, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so for lesson number 9, we're going to start with point number 1 on page 28, which is the accusative ending of the sound feminine plural. Okay, so let's turn to the English key for lesson number 9 on page 28. Now, at the top of the page it says lesson 9. In this lesson we learned the following. In this lesson we learn the following. Number 1. The accusative ending of the sound feminine plural. Sound feminine plural, we mean by that جمع المؤنث السالم. Okay, we had the جمع المؤنث السالم in previously, but we didn't see the mansub ending. We didn't see the mansub ending, yani when it's in the accusative case. So, this is the first point of this lesson, and it's the first time we're going to, I think it's the first time that we're going to see a secondary sign of i'rab. Okay, we always say that the sign of a word being marfoon is dhamma. And sometimes I say that's the primary sign, because there may also be some words that have a secondary sign. That's not going to be dhamma. That indicates that it's marfoon. Okay, and we say that the sign of a word being majroor, yani, as we saw in the early lessons in book one, we said that when a word is following a preposition, it's majroor, and the sign of this majroor is kesra. That's the primary sign of a word being majroor in the genitive case. But there are also secondary signs. And we also said the primary sign of a word being mansub is fatha. But that, there's also, we will learn later on that there are also some secondary signs that indicate a word being mansub on the accusative case. So here we have a case of that. We have a case where the sound, feminine plural, has a secondary sign as an indication of it being mansub. And that's what we're going to look at right now. Okay, so we've seen the primary signs, fatha, kasra, dhamma. Now we're going to start seeing some secondary signs. So it says, point number one, the accusative ending of the sound, feminine, plural. We have learned earlier that the normal accusative ending of a noun is fatha. For example, innal bayta jadidun. Meaning, indeed, the house is new. Or verily, surely, the house is new. Here we see that al-bayta, which is ismu inna, it's the ism of inna, we see that it's taking fatha. And that's the sign what? That it is mansub. That's the primary sign of a word being mansub, that it takes fatha. And jadidun has dhamma. Because it's what? It's the khabar of inna. And khabar of inna is marfu'un. Sign that is marfu'un is dhamma. These are primary signs. Second example. Qara'atu al-kitaba. Qara'atu al-kitaba. Meaning, I read the book. Here, we see that al-kitaba is the object of the verb, the maf'ulun bi. And the maf'ulun bi is mansub, the primary sign of a word being mansub is fatha. So we see here two examples of a word being mansub. Inna al-bayta jadidun wa qara'atu al-kitaba. In both cases, al-bayta and al-kitaba are mansub. For two different reasons though. Al-bayta is mansub because it's ismu inna. And al-kitab is mansub because it's maf'ulun bi. But in any case, the point is both of them are mansub in the accusative case. And we see that the sign of it being mansub is that it has fatha. That's the primary sign of a word being mansub. Now we learn that the accusative ending of a noun in the sound feminine plural form is I, yani kasra, instead of a. Yani, instead of that word ending with a, fatha, we're going to see it's going to end with I, kasra. This is what we're going to learn in this lesson, that the sound feminine plural, when it's mansub, instead of taking fatha, it takes kasra. Okay, let's look at the example that they gave us here. I saw the sons and the daughters. Ra'aytu al-abana'a with fatha, wal-banati with kasra. Ra'aytu al-abana'a wal-banati. In this sentence, both al-abana'a and al-banati are objects of the verb. Yani both of them are maf'ulun bi. The first maf'ul is al-abana'a and the second maf'ul is al-banati. They are both objects of the verb ra'aytu. And so they are in the accusative case. Both of them are in the accusative case. The noun al-abana'a has the regular a or fatha ending. But the noun al-banati has the I or kasra ending, because it is a sound feminine plural. Yani, what indicates it's a sound feminine plural? It's ending in at. Yani, banat. Like, al-mu'mina sound feminine plural, al-mu'minat. The fact that it ends with fatta alif ta is an indication that it's a sound feminine plural. Al-kafira, al-kafirat. Al-muslima, al-muslimat. So that ending, at, is an indication that the word is a sound feminine plural. Alright? So, what they're saying here is that in this sentence, رَأَيْتُ الْأَبْنَاءَ وَالْبَنَاتِ, this is making us see the difference between the sound feminine plural and other words that are mansub. Generally, words that are mansub, the sign that they're mansub is fatah. But the sound feminine plural has a secondary sign. A special sign when it's mansub, instead of fatah, it takes kasra. So they're showing here that al-abna'a is the maf'ulun bi, the object of the verb ra'aytu, and al-banati is also a maf'ulun bi, yani an object of the verb ra'aytu. I saw the sons and I also saw the daughters. So both of them are maf'ulun bi, both of them are mansub, but al-abna'a has the regular sign fatha, and banat has a secondary sign kasra. Because why it has a secondary sign? Because it is a sound feminine plural. So whenever you see a sound feminine plural, if it's mansub in the accusative case, instead of taking fatta, it has to take kasra. Let's look at, here are some more examples. Here are some more examples. Okay, let's look at those examples and try to keep in mind what? That the sound feminine plural, the feminine plural that ends with at, fatta alif ta, that's a sound feminine plural. If it's in the accusative case, mansub, instead of taking fatta, as we have learned in the past, that words that are mansub take fatta, this type of word, sound feminine plural, takes kasra instead of fatha. Alright, let's look at the examples they gave us. خَلَقَ اللَّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ. Allah created the heavens and the earth. Notice here, خَلَقَ اللَّهُ, خَلَقَ is the fi'l. اللَّهُ لَفْظَ الْجَلَالَ, the لَفْظَ الْجَلَالَ, the expression of majesty, is the fa'il, doer of the action of this sentence. Allah is the one who created. He created as-samawati, that's the object of the verb, the maf'ulun bi. Wal-arba, that's the second object of the verb, second maf'ulun bi. Both of them were maf'ulun bi, object of the verb khalaqa. And therefore both of them are mansub. But as-samawati, because it's a sound feminine plural, instead of taking fatha, it takes kasra. And al-arba, yani because it's regular, so it has the normal ending of being mansub, which is fatha. Let's look at another example. قرأت الكتب والصحف والمجلات. I read the books, الكتب, and the newspapers, الصحف, and the magazines, المجلات. But notice that even though الكتب is the object of the verb, what did I read? I read the books. What did I also read? I read the newspapers. What did I also read? I read the magazines. So all of them is the object of the verb to read. I read all of them. I read the books, I read the newspapers, I read the magazines. So they're all maf'ulun bi. And they're all mansub. But al-kutub, being mansub, has the regular sign fatta. As-suhuf, being mansub, has the regular sign fatta. But al-majallat, because it's a sound feminine plural, ending in at, because of that, it has a secondary sign. Instead of fatta, it has kasra. Alright? Qara'tu al-kutuba, mansub with fatta. Was-suhufa, mansub with fatta. والمجلات منسوب with كسرة instead of فتح as a secondary sign because it is a sound feminine plural. Sound feminine plural means what? A feminine plural that ends with at. Alright, instead of يعني just like مسلمة becomes مسلمات and مؤمنة becomes مؤمنات. Those are sound feminine plurals. The next example they gave us, إن الإخوة وَالْأَخَوَاتِ فِي الْبَيْتِ. Indeed, the brothers and sisters are at home. Notice that الأخوات being, I mean الإخوات being ism of إِنَّ, ism of إِنَّ is always mansub, right? So it is الإخوات mansub with فَتَّة. وَالْأَخَوَات is also the ism of إِنَّ. It's also the ism of إِنَّ. Indeed, the brothers and indeed the sisters are in the house. So both of them are ism inna, and therefore both of them are mansub. But ikhwa has the normal sign of being mansub, which is fatha, and akhawat has the secondary sign of being mansub, that is kasra, because it is a sound feminine plural. Okay, so those are the examples that they gave us, and then they closed this point by saying, remember that the accusative and genitive endings are the same in the sound feminine plural form. And when the sound feminine plural is in the accusative case, and when it's in the genitive case, it has the same ending. Because when it's genitive, it has the normal ending, which is kasra, yani when it is majrur. But when it's accusative, mansub, it has a special ending. Instead of fatah, it has kasra. So therefore, when it's in the genitive case, it takes kasra, that's regular. But also when it's in the accusative case, it also takes kasra. So that means the sound feminine plural, when it is majrur, as well as when it is mansub, in both cases, it has the same vowel ending. So you have to be careful when you see kasra on the end of a sound feminine plural. You have to check its position in the sentence. Is it yani majrur or is it mansub? Because the sign for majrur and mansub for the sound feminine plural is the same. It's kasra. So you have to pay attention and make sure you look at its function in the sentence, its position in the sentence. All right. So remember that the accusative and genitive endings are the same in the sound feminine plural form. For example, inna talibati fil hafilati. Yani, indeed, the female students are in the buses. Here, at talibati is mansub because it is because of inna. Yani, it's the ism inna. Ism inna is mansub. So, here, at-talibati is mansub as ism inna, and al-hafilati is majrur, because of the preposition fi. But both have the I or kasra ending. So what we're saying here is what? That these two words, at-talibati and al-hafilati, they both have kasra. But at-talibati, the kasra here is a sign that it's mansub, because it's a sound feminine plural, secondary sign. And in hafilati, the kasra there is a sign that it's majrur. That's the normal sign when a word is majrur, it takes kasra. So even though both of them end with kasra, one is mansub, talibati is mansub, and the other, al-hafilati, is majrur. That's what we wanted to say in terms of the sound feminine plural. Okay, so this is point number one. We want to also look at the next point, number two. But before that, let me just summarize here that the normal endings for nouns in Arabic are going to be Dhamma, Kasra, and Fatha. If it's Marfu'un, nominative case, it takes Dhamma. If it's Majrur, genitive case, it takes Kasra. If it's Mansub, accusative case, it takes Fatha. Those are the primary signs of a noun in Arabic being Marfu'un, Majrurun, and Mansub. For the sound feminine plural, it has a special sign when it is Mansub. It doesn't take fatha, rather it takes kasra. That's what we really need to know here. That the sound feminine plural, if it is mansub, either because it's the ism of inna, or because it is the maf'ulun bi of the verb, or any other thing that makes it mansub, instead of it taking fatha, it's going to take kasra. That's all we need to know. We need to recognize the sound feminine plural when we see it. If it's mansub, don't put fatha on it. Rather, put kasra. That's a secondary sign for the sound feminine plural. That's it. Alright, let's look at the next point. And I hope when you read this, if it wasn't completely clear to you when you read it on your own, if it was not yet completely clear, I hope it's clear now. Yani, that's the sound feminine plural. Words, feminine plurals that end with at, like mukminat, muslimat, yani kafirat, and so on. Sound feminine plurals, when they are in the accusative case, yani being mansub, instead of taking fatha, they take kasra. That's it. Okay, let's go on to the second point on the bottom of page 28, number 2. It says, we have learned that ra'aytu ka means I saw you. Ka means you. I saw you. And ra'aytu hu means I saw him. Yani ra'aytu means I saw. Ra'aytu ka, I saw you. Ra'aytu hu, I saw him. Now we learn the use of the pronoun of the first person, me. And if I wanted to say, I saw me, I saw myself. Note the following. Ra'aytani. Ra'ayta means you, right? Ra'ayta, you saw ni, me. You saw me. Note the following. Ra'ayta, you saw ni, you saw me. I'm going to just stay here, just jump ahead a little bit and say, here in ra'ayta is the fi'l and the fa'il, you saw, and ya after the noon is ya al-mutakallim, the ya that represents the first person, the speaker. In between ra'ayta and ya al-mutakallim is the noon. That noon we will see is known as noon al-wiqaya, and we'll explain what it's used for as we read. Okay, so let's just look at the next example where we're going to see this noon coming in between the verb and ya al-mutakallim. Allah created me. خَلَقَنِي اللَّهُ خَلَقَنِي, right? And اللَّهُ. So in this sentence, خَلَقَنِي اللَّهُ, خَلَقَ is the verb, the action. And the love of the Jalal, اللَّهُ, is the fa'il, the doer of the action. And the object of the verb is يَا الْمُتَكَلَّمُ. But the يَا الْمُتَكَلَّمُ, the مَفْعُولٌ بِهِ, is separated from the verb by this noon that we just said is known as noon al-wiqaya. It's separated from the verb. So khalaqa is the verb, ya al-mutakallim is the maf'ulun bi, the object of the verb, and the lafz al-jalala, the expression of majesty, Allah, is the fa'il. The lafz al-jalala is the fa'il. So what we're noticing here again is that the verb khalaqa is separated from the maf'ulun bi, ya al-mutakallim, by a noon, known as noon al-wiqaya. The third example, سألني المدرس. سألني المدرس. سأل, يعني meaning the teacher asked me. سأل is the verb. يا المتكلم is the مفعول به, the object of the verb, who was asked. And المدرس is the فاعل, the one who did the asking. So سأل is the فعل, المدرس is the فاعل, and يا المتكلم is the مفعول به. But the mafulun bi ya al-mutakallim is separated from sa'ala by what? The noon, known as noon al-wiqaya. So what is this all about, this noon al-wiqaya, the noon of protection? What is it all about? The noon, the pronoun, I'm saying not the noon, the pronoun of the first person is only the ya al-mutakallim, the I, E. It's only the long vowel I, known as ya al-mutakallim. It's only the E. But the N is added between the verb and the pronoun e, so that the final vowel of the verb may not be affected due to e, ya al-mutakallim. What do we mean, so it won't be affected? As you know, yani, so it won't be forced to be a kasra, because ya al-mutakallim must be preceded by a kasra, must always be preceded by a kasra. So if we don't have this noon in between, then the vowel, if it was originally a fatha, like in ra'ayta, or ra'aytu, if it was originally a dhamma or fatha, when you add ya al-mutakallim to something, the last letter has to take kasra. So the ra'aytu would be changed to ra'ayti, and ra'ayta would be changed to ra'ayti, and ra'ayti anti, there would be no distinction between ra'aytu, ra'ayta, and ra'ayti. They would all be ra'ayti. They would all be taking a kasra because of ya al-mutakallim. So to protect the ra'aytu and ra'ayta from being changed to the same as ra'ayti, because it has to, yani ya al-mutakallim has to be preceded by a kasra, in order to stop those vowels from having to be changed, then we put a protective letter in between the verb and the ya al-mutakallim, so ya al-mutakallim can take its kasra, and the verb can end with its dhamma or fatha or whatever it was supposed to end with. Okay? So let's read what it says after the third example. After سألني المدرس, it says the pronoun of the first person is only e, that's ya al-mutakallim. But an anun is added between the verb سأل or خلق or يعني رأيت. An is added between the verb and the pronoun e, so that the final vowel of the verb may not be affected. So it won't be forced to change to a kasra. due to E, the Ya al-Mutakallim. As you know, you saw is Ra'ayta with Fatha for masculine. And Ra'ayti is you saw for feminine. If we say Ra'ayta'i or Ra'ayti'i, the Arabic phonetic system requires the omission of the vowel A in Ra'ayta. It requires us to get rid of that A. And even the I before the pronoun E, Ya al-Mutakallim. It requires that we get rid of whatever the last vowel is, whether it's Ra'ayta, Ra'ayti, Ra'aytu. It requires us to get rid of whatever vowel that last letter ends with because of the pronoun E. Because why? The pronoun E must always be preceded by Kasra. So the verb in both cases, in Ra'ayta, E, and Ra'ayti, E, the verb in both cases will become Ra'ayti. And the difference between the masculine and the feminine, Ra'ayta and Ra'ayti, will be lost. They will both be Ra'ayti. This is why an N, the letter N or Noon, is inserted between the verb Ra'ayta or Ra'aytu or Ra'ayti. The Noon is inserted between the verb and the pronoun E. So it became Ra'ayta, remains as Ra'ayta, became Ra'ayta Ni. And Ra'ayti remains with its kasr, Ra'ayti Ni. And the same thing, if it was Ra'aytu, it would be Ra'aytu Ni. This Noon is called the Noon of Protection. Noon al-Wiqaya. Wiqaya means protection. Because it protects the final vowel of the verb from omission, from being omitted or deleted in preference to the Ya, or the Kasra of Ya al-Mutakallim. Okay, protects the verb from having to change its last vowel from Ra'ayta or Ra'aytu. It remains Ra'aytu, Ra'ayta, Ra'ayti, whatever it is, and then yani the Ya al-Mutakallim comes after the Noon of Protection, Noon al-Wiqaya. Okay, so this is what we wanted to say about point number two. That is, whenever you have the first person, singular pronoun, E, which is known as Ya al-Mutakallim, known as Ya al-Mutakallim, whenever you have that pronoun being added to a verb, in order to protect the last vowel of the verb being changed from Ra'aytu or Ra'ayta, in order to protect it from being changed to a Kasra, being forced to be changed to Kasra by Ya al-Mutakallim, yani a letter is added, inserted between the verb and the Ya al-Mutakallim, so Ya al-Mutakallim can get its Kasra, and the verb can keep its Fatha or Dhamma or whatever vowel it ends with, and there's no change in the verb. So this is called Noon al-Wiqaya. It protects the verb from having to change its last vowel to a Kasra because of Ya al-Mutakallim, the first person singular pronoun, E. That's what we wanted to look at here. Okay, the last point that we will look at in this lesson is the third point from lesson number 9, English Key, on page 29. The third point says, how to say in Arabic, how to say, how beautiful is this car? What a beautiful car this is. Yani an expression of amazement at something. Oh, how beautiful this is. What a beautiful car it is. Okay, how do we express this wonderment or amazement, yani in Arabic? This is expressed in Arabic by, yani to say, how beautiful is this car, or what a beautiful car this is, you say in Arabic, ما أجمل هذه السيارة. ما أجمل هذه السيارة. This is called فعل التعجب. فعل التعجب. That is verb of wonder or amazement. And has the form ما أفعله. And its form is ما أفعله. One can use the pronoun who, as in أفعله, or any other pronoun in the accusative case, because it's the maf'ulun bi, so it has to be the accusative form of the pronoun. Or you may replace the pronoun who, or ka, or ki, you may replace the pronoun with a noun in the accusative case. For example, you may replace it with a noun. So they give us first some examples of the pronoun being used with this, yani, fi'l ta'ajjub. They give us examples of pronoun, ka, ha, and then they give us examples of the pronoun being replaced with a clear noun, and nujum and ad-dars. Okay, so we're going to look at a couple of examples. The first thing though, before we look at those examples, I want to remind us that the form of what is called here فعل التعجب, the verb of amazement. First of all, it is a verb. And so the pronoun that comes after it, or the noun that comes after it, is the object of the verb. It's going to be mansub. Okay, so that's one thing you want to understand. The second thing you understand is that it's going to be preceded by ma. Okay, and the third thing you understand is that the form of it, it's going to be taken from an adjective like jameel, and it's going to be put on the pattern of af'ala. So jameel became ajmala, kabir became akbara, saghir became asghara. Okay, so it's going to be, if you're saying something is very, oh how big this is, you're going to say ma from kabir, akbara, saghir, ma, asghara, and so on. And then after that, you're going to have the object of the verb, ajmala, or akbara, or asghara. You're going to have the object of the verb. It's going to be either a pronoun, which it has to be the accusative form of the pronoun, because it's mansub, it's the object of the verb. Or it's going to be a clear noun that's going to be mansub with fatha, as the primary sign of it being mansub. Unless it's a secondary sign, it could be a secondary sign, like we just saw with the sound feminine plural, secondary sign of being mansub, instead of fatha as kasra. Okay, so there are three things in this expression. Yani the fi'l ta'ajjub, there's ma, and then there's the verb form, which is going to be on the pattern of af'ala. So kabir became akbara, saghir became asghara, taweel became atwala, ending with fatha. And that, ajmalu, ajmala, ma ajmala. And then after that is going to come a clear noun or a pronoun that's going to be in the accusative case, or in the place where it should be, mansub. Alright, so three things. Ma, then the verb form is going to be on the pattern of af'ala, ending with fatha. And then, after that, is going to come the object of the verb, which could be a pronoun in the accusative case, yani in the place where it should be mansub, or a clear noun that is going to be mansub. And the primary sign of it being mansub would be fatha, or it could be a secondary sign. Alright, so let's look at the examples that they give here. Yani, how good you are. Oh, how good you are. It's from tayyib. So the form of the verb here from tayyib, fa, ya, ba, is going to be on the pattern of af'ala, it's going to be atyaba. Ma atyaba ka, anta. Yani, the object is going to be the pronoun here, ka. Oh, how good you are. Ma atyaba ka. Ma atyaba from tayyib, atyaba, and then the pronoun ka. The pronoun ka here is in the place where it should be mansub, yani fi mahalli nasb, as the maf'ulun bi. Oh, how good you are. How poor she is. Oh, how poor she is. Oh, how poor she is. Yani an expression of me. Oh, how poor this person. This person is really, really poor. It's from the noun, it's from the adjective faqir, fa, qaf, ra, on the pattern of af'ala became afqara, afqara, ma, afqara, and then the pronoun ha, yani referring to her, ma afqara ha, oh, how poor she is, how poor she is, and I'm amazed at how poor she is. And again, here, the ha is the object of the verb afqara. As the object of the verb, it is in the place where it should be mansub, because all pronouns, remember, are mabniun, so we say it's not mansub, but it's fi mahalli nasb, in the place where it should be mansub. Ma afqaraha. The next one, they show us, instead of a pronoun, a clear noun. How numerous the stars are. Oh, how numerous the stars are. Yani, I'm amazed at how many stars there are. Oh, how numerous the stars are. Yani, numerous means kathir, right? So, on the pattern of afala, kathir, ka, kaf, tha, and ra become akthara. Ma akthara, and then the object of the verb, an nujum, is mansub. The sign that is mansub is fatha. Ma akthara an nujuma. Oh, how many, how numerous are the stars. The last example they gave is how easy this lesson is. Oh, how easy is this lesson. I'm amazed at how easy it is. Oh, how easy is this lesson. Okay, it's from the adjective sahlun, seen, ha, and lam, on the pattern of af'ala, on the pattern of af'ala, became ashala. Ma ashala hadha ad-darsa. Ma ashala hadha ad-darsa. Yani, ما أسهل, oh how easy. And then هذا is the object of the verb, right? اسم إشارة is مبنيون, so we don't see any change in it. But then الدرسة, which is the بدل for هذا, remember the اسم إشارة هذا أو هذه أو ذلك أو تلك, the اسم إشارة is followed by a noun with ألف لام is a بدل, right? And the بدل has to have the same ruling as the مبدل منه. So الدرسة is the بدل for هذا. هذا is the مفعول به, يعني it's مبنيون in the place where it should be منصوب. And therefore الدرس, which is the يعني بدل for it, also has to be منصوب. So that's why we see الدرسة with فتح, the sign that it is منصوب. ما أسهل هذا الدرسة. What we want to يعني summarize here as we close this lesson, we want to remind you that this point number three is what? It's called فعل التعجب, يعني the verb of wonder or amazement. It's composed of three parts, ما plus the adjective put into this verbal form on the pattern of أفعل, أفعل. So كبير أكبر, huh? طويل أطول, فقير أفقى, أفقر, and so on. كثير أكثر, سهل أسهل, طيب أطيب. So it's ما plus the verbal form on the pattern of أفعل, and then after that is a pronoun or a clear noun that is the object of the verb. If it's a pronoun, we say it's مبنيون in the place where it should be منصوب. If it's a clear noun, we say it's منصوب, and the sign that it's منصوب is فتح, which is the primary sign, or any secondary sign, whatever it may be. Before we close, I just want to give a couple more examples, and then we're going to close with this. Next week, inshallah, we'll do the remainder of this lesson, the remaining points from 4 to 11, 11 points in this lesson, and then after that, we'll go over the Arabic text for this lesson, translate and analyze the grammar, and look at the vocabulary. And that will be yani our lesson for next week, yani the remainder of lesson number 9. Okay, so let me just give you a couple of more examples of the fi'l at-ta'ajjub. So if I wanted to say, oh how big is this house, oh how big is this house, so big is going to be what? From kabir on the pattern of af'ala, it's going to be akbara. Ma akbara, oh how big is this house, hadha al-bayta. So هذا is the مفعول به, it's مبنيون in the place where it should be منصوب. البيت is its بدل, substitute, so it has to be منصوب. هذا البيت. Oh how big is this house, ما أكبر هذا البيت. The next example I want to give is, oh how small is this door, this door. Oh how small is this door. So small is from صغير on the pattern of أفعل, it's going to be أصغر. ما أصغر, oh how small is this door, هذا الباب. هذا is the مفعول به, مبنيون in the place where it should be منصوب. الباب is the بدل, so it has to be منصوب, that's why it ends with فتح. The last example I want to give is, oh how inexpensive is this watch, يعني inexpensive is رخيص, را خا صاد, alright, را خا and صاد. So on the pattern of أفعل is going to be أرخص, أرخص. ما أرخص, oh how inexpensive is this watch, يعني هذه الساعة. هذه is the مفعول به, مبنيون in the place where it should be منصوب. الساعة is the بدل, so it has to be منصوب, the sign that is منصوب is فتح. ما أرخص هذه الساعة, oh how inexpensive is this watch. What is the meaning of ما أصغر هذا الباب, ما أصغر هذا الباب, oh how small is this door. And what is the meaning of ما أكبر هذا البيت, ما أكبر هذا البيت, يعني oh how big is this house. Okay, that's what we wanted to cover for today. Inshallah, we're going to stop here with this and just remind you that بإذن الله تعالى next week, inshallah, our lesson, session number 9, is going to be lesson number 9. But we already started lesson number 9 with the first 3 points, because lesson number 8 was a little bit short, and lesson number 9 is very long. So, alhamdulillah, we're able to take a little bit of lesson 9 today, and we'll complete the remaining points for lesson number 9 next week, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, so that we keep our sequence of one lesson per week. by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair. We're going to stop here, and I just ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant each of us success in doing those things that are pleasing to Him, doing them sincerely for His sake alone, in accordance with the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that He recognize, record, and reward our deeds, that He multiply them for us, and that He forgive us our shortcomings and our mistakes and errors, and that He raise our station in this world and the next, and keep us firm upon as-siratul mustaqim until we return to Him in a condition of being pleased with Him and pleasing to Him. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect those of us who are weak, and the weak from amongst the Muslims, and that He give strength to them, and that He as well grant healing and cure to our sick, and then He grant us patience with whatever trials we are faced with in this world. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.